This is an ABC podcast.
Fierce.
Girl power.
This year marks 100 years since the first woman was elected in Parliament in Australia. To celebrate, we're bringing back some of our favourite Fierce Girls episodes, celebrating trailblazing female politicians. This is the story of Australia's first female Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, read by author and journalist Tracy Spicer.
The koala fell out of Julia's arms, tumbling over the ship's railing and plummeting into the ocean far below. No! Julia screamed, "Help him!" But it was too late. The koala was lost in the ship's wake, an accidental burial at sea for the marsupial who'd never made it to his native homeland. Julia sobbed. Her mum, dad, and big sister tried to console her, but it was hopeless. "It was my koala," Julia sniffed. "He was brand new." Her dad patted her red hair and wiped the tears from her freckled cheeks. "Julia, the koala was just a toy," he said. "You'll see real koalas soon." Julia Eileen Gillard was 4 years old and on a ship bound for Australia. She was born in Wales in the United Kingdom, known for its rolling green hills, castles, rugby, and gloomy weather. When she was a baby, she got sick with a chest infection that wouldn't budge. She had to keep warm so she wouldn't get sicker. She spent winter indoors and, in the summer, was only allowed to dangle her feet in the pool while other kids splashed and swam. It was unfair and boring. The family doctor advised them to move away. "Somewhere sunny," he said, "with clean air." "All aboard! Cheap trips to the land down under!" When the Gillards heard Australia wanted more people, they thought, why not? It's hot. Julia's dad was especially keen for a fresh start. He was one of seven kids, and although he was super smart, he had to leave school when he was only 12. 12! Not even a teenager. His family was poor and needed him to help put food on the table. He worked in all sorts of jobs, shop assistant, coal inspector, policeman, but he always longed for school. And when he had two kids of his own, he made it his mission to make sure they never missed out. "Gillard!" Fountains of soap suds were pouring out of every crevice of the washing machine. "Sorry, miss," Julia said to her teacher. "It must be broken." She was fibbing. Her friends giggled behind their hands. They'd deliberately filled the machine with an entire packet of detergent. None of them understood why the girls at high school had to learn home economics, that's cooking, cleaning and sewing, while the boys got to build things with wood and metal. "You'll need it one day," the teachers reasoned, "when you become a mum." But at 16, Julia knew she never wanted to become a mum. It was just a feeling, and she was cool with it. "I don't want to have kids. Not now, not ever. All I want is a good education and a good career." She had the good education sorted. Apart from the incident with the bubbling washing machine, Julia was a straight A student. She was shy, but when she joined the debating team, she came out of her shell. It wasn't just public speaking, it was arguing for something you believed in. "Good afternoon, chairperson, adjudicator, audience, and fellow debaters. Today I will argue that women are just as capable of being leaders as men." When Julia was on stage with palm cards at the ready, she felt fierce. Her opponents would be shaking in their socks. I think I might become a teacher, she thought. I love school, so it makes sense. But when she got the application forms for university, her best friend's mum said, "You're such a good debater. Maybe you should be a lawyer." A lawyer. It was just like professional debating, standing up for people and fighting for what's right. That sounded like something Julia could do. She ticked the box. Law it would be. What do we want? Better schools. When do we want them? Now! Julia didn't wait to become a lawyer to start standing up for people and fighting for what she believed was right. She bought herself some no-nonsense lace-up army boots and led uni student marches demanding better and fairer education for all. It felt exhilarating, making a stand, calling for change. Julia thought back to her parents talking over the dinner table about a political group called the Australian Labor Party. They told her the party fought for workers' rights and top education for everyone, no matter how much money they had or where they were from. A light bulb flicked on in Julia's brain. I need to join the Labor Party. So she signed up. All the important Labor bigwigs noticed Julia, and it wasn't just because she was a woman in a room full of men in business suits. She walked with her head held high. She was a confident, successful young lawyer. But she had her eyes on a new career. She didn't just want to be a member of the Labor Party. She wanted to represent them as a proper politician. She went to meeting after meeting, shaking hands, rubbing shoulders. She was trying to convince the men in suits that she belonged in the most important building in Australia, Parliament House. That's where politicians run the country. Come on, she said. Let me have a go. Let the public vote. Yet Labor wouldn't do it. Maybe it was because Julia was young. Maybe it was because she didn't have enough experience. Maybe certain people just didn't like her. But Julia never thought it was because she was a woman. I know I can do it. You know I can do it. So let me try, Julia said. Finally, after years of Julia hustling, the Labor Party realised she wasn't going to give up. You've shown us how determined you are, they said. We'll give you a chance. They probably should have done it earlier because almost three quarters of people in Julia's neighbourhood voted for her. Oops. She was in. Turn right at the stairs. No, left. No, right. Ah! Julia got lost a lot in Parliament House. It had 4,700 rooms inside. That's about equal to more than 1,000 average family homes. Yet, when old Parliament House was built, it didn't even have a women's toilet. You see, women weren't even allowed to vote when Australia's first government was formed. Then, once they could vote, it took 41 years for the first women politicians to get a spot in Parliament. Talk about dragging things out! When Julia took her seat in the House of Representatives, that's one of two main rooms in Parliament where laws get made, she was sitting alongside 14 other newly elected women, and 11 of them were from her own party. She didn't like to make a fuss about being female, but she had to admit it was an epic feeling to see women's faces dotted amongst the rows and rows of men. It is a cause for celebration, Julia said in her very first speech, and will inspire us to ensure that many more women follow us into this Parliament. But just because she was there, it didn't mean she was in control. Julia spent 9 long years in Parliament in what's called the opposition. That means your political party isn't the one calling the shots. It was kind of like sitting in a building where half the people were powerful and the other half wanted to be. Julia was on the side that wanted to be. It was frustrating. But her frustration turned to hope when an election was called. That's when the people of Australia get to vote for who should be running things in Parliament. The leader of the Labor Party was a man named Kevin Rudd. Julia, I want you to run alongside me as my second in charge. That meant if Labor won the election, Kevin would be Prime Minister and Julia would be Deputy Prime Minister. They were on the verge of making history. No woman had ever been Deputy Prime Minister of Australia before. But Julia never thought about the fact she was a woman. It was no big deal to her. She just wanted the job. "I'll do it," she said. She pulled back her shoulders. Deputy Prime Minister. It sounded good. And she knew she was up to the task. And the results are in.
Kevin Rudd's the Prime Minister-elect, less than 12 months after becoming Labor leader.
It's a clear swing.
The end of the Howard era as Kevin Rudd takes government for Labor.
Julia was being filmed for live TV when she heard. The votes had been counted. A smile spread across her face. Labor won. Easily. Julia had to quieten down her supporters. They were cheering so loudly she couldn't hear a thing. She stayed calm for the cameras, said her thank yous and goodbyes, then jumped in a car with a chauffeur so she could head home to celebrate properly. They were waiting at a red light when Julia noticed something out of the corner of her eye. It was two teenage girls in the next lane. They'd wound their window down and their arms were flailing wildly. "What is it?" Julia called out. The girls were screaming, but not in a distressed way. They were ecstatic. "It's her," they said. "It's you, Julia, Julia Gillard. Congratulations." After keeping composed all night, Julia felt a rush of excitement. There was no denying that moment was anything but awesome. But life as Australia's first female Deputy Prime Minister didn't go quite as Julia had pictured. Some of her Labor mates didn't like Kevin Rudd.
Some powerful figures within the Labor Party are moving away from the Prime Minister Kevin Rudd and shifting their support to the Deputy Julia Gillard.
Whispers and he said, she said stories swirled through the corridors of Parliament House. Julia feared such trouble could destroy her party. So she took a deep breath and knocked on the Prime Minister's door. "Kevin, I'd like to challenge you for the leadership," she said. "We'll let the party vote. If they choose you, you stay as Prime Minister. If they choose me, I take over." Kevin shook Julia's hand. But after realising he wouldn't get enough votes, he bowed out of the race.
This morning, Kevin Rudd told his Labor caucus that he would not contest the leadership, and Julia Gillard was chosen unopposed as the Labor Party's leader and the PM.
It was a strange way for it to happen. There was no fanfare, no party, no teenage girls waving to her from a car window. But Julia Eileen Gillard had just become Australia's first female Prime Minister. She was almost blinded by the cameras flashing when she was ready to make the formal announcement. She'd been swamped by reporters, desperate to know what happened behind closed doors.
"Julia, how do
Julia,
you feel?
Julia, why did you do it?
Julia, are you a traitor?"
Julia was careful not to smile too much. She wanted people to know that it was a serious occasion. No one thought you should be proud of pushing a workmate out of their job and then taking his place.
"I came to the view that a good government was losing its way. Was losing its way. But I do believe we have lost our way."
A good government was losing its way. Julia said it over and over again. It was a rehearsed line, deliberately vague. Julia vowed to let the Australian people decide themselves whether she should stay. They'd get to keep her or boot her out in the next election. Until then, she would do her best as the new boss of the country. The contest was tight. So tight that after the voting finished, it took 17 days for Julia to find out for sure that she'd won.
"The
new leader of the Federal Parliamentary Labor Party, elected unopposed, is Julia Gillard.
As her Labor Party mates hugged and hooted around her, Julia let out a massive sigh. Phew, that was too close. She made it through by the skin of her teeth. Once she knew she would be staying on as Prime Minister, she rolled up her sleeves and set to work. Now, let's get on with the job. But a curious thing happened. No one seemed to focus on the job she was doing. They were more worried about what she was wearing. On her first day, the media obsessed over her coat. One journalist described it as looking like a cheap motel bedspread. Julia would attend important meeting after important meeting, and instead of wondering what happened, the world would criticise her clothes. And if it wasn't her suits, it was her makeup, or her body, or the red hair. Everyone had something to say about the red hair. Julia laughed it off. "It's a good day for redheads," she said in her first interview as Prime Minister. The journalist was also ginger. And when she visited schools and saw a red-headed kid, she'd always be sure to say, "Hey, nice hair." Oddly enough, no one cared what the male politicians wore or about the size of their butts or if their hair was dyed or if they had any hair at all. That one thing Julia had never thought was a big deal, being a woman, was suddenly a big deal for everyone around her. She tried to ignore nastiness, but it got harder and harder to shake off. Her opponents would tease her for having no children. One cattle industry boss compared her to a useless old cow during a speech at a fancy dinner. A famous radio announcer said she should be thrown into the sea, like her old toy koala, while other haters carried signs that called her a witch and vile names that are too rude to repeat. All of it hurt Julia. All of it made her angry. But she held it inside. Until her nemesis, the leader of the opposition, dared to accuse Julia and her party of treating women unfairly. Julia stood tall behind her microphone in Parliament and unleashed her most passionate speech of all time.
The leader of the opposition says that people who hold sexist views and who are misogynists are not appropriate for high office. Well, I hope the leader of the opposition has got a piece of paper and he is writing out his resignation.
Julia pointed her finger, listing the horrid comments and insults she and other Australian women had endured.
This Parliament today should reject this motion, and the leader of the opposition should think seriously about the role of women in public life and in Australian society, because we are entitled to a better standard than this.
We are entitled to a better standard than this, she ended, before taking her seat, unaware that her rant was about to go viral. The speech was watched and shared by millions of people across the globe. Julia Eileen Gillard spent 3 years and 3 days as Prime Minister of Australia. She believes her biggest achievements were helping make life easier for people with disabilities, protecting the environment, improving schools, and forming solid friendships with other countries. She never wanted to make a big deal about being a woman. But in her final speech as the nation's leader, she had a message for the girls of Australia. Don't ever give up.
What I am absolutely confident of is it will be easier for the next woman and the woman after that and the woman after that. And I'm proud of that.
If you need any more fierceness in your life, make sure you check back soon for the next episode of Fierce Girls. We've made it just for you. It's all about the girls who drove into the history books, Jean Robertson and Kathleen Howell.
Beep, beep. It wasn't every day you saw women behind the wheel in the early 1920s, but Jean Robertson learnt to drive almost as soon as her feet could touch the pedals. She even enrolled in a mechanics course straight out of school, while the rest of her classmates were getting married. All except her bestie, Kathleen Howell. She wasn't ready to become a wife either. So Jean taught her to drive too. Jean and Kathleen loved driving so much that they drove across the entire country from the bottom to the top of Australia. They followed the telegraph lines through the desert. There were no roads in most parts, and if they ever had engine trouble, they fixed it themselves. No worries. They raced against trains and broke land speed records. And when they got bored of that, they drove across the world, all the way from Melbourne to Monte Carlo. Eventually, Jean and Kathleen met a couple of blokes and they did get married. But their first loves would always be cars, adventure, and each other.
And to hear more awesome episodes of Fierce Girls for free, go to the ABC Listen app or anywhere you get your podcasts. Roll the credits. This Fierce Girls episode is produced by a bunch of super fierce women. The executive producer is Justine Kelly. The producer is Rebecca Armstrong, with special thanks to Laura McAuliffe. The stories are written by the uber-talented Samantha Turnbull. Judy Rapley is the amazing audio engineer who puts in all the cool sound effects like this one. Fierce Girls is a production of ABC Audio Studios. Over and out.